Please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, the 55th Psalm, Psalm 55, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 625. And this morning we will read the first six verses of this psalm. Psalm 55, verses 1 through 6. We'll read the verses responsively, and the sixth verse is the text verse. May we please stand for the reading of God's Word. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. And let's pray. And Father, what a wonderful privilege and joy it is to be here in this auditorium. There are a lot of people who would love to be where we are. There are a lot of folks who would love to just visit one time. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the preaching and for what it's meant to so many of us through these many years. Bless this service. Bless with power the preaching today and our preacher. And give us attentive minds. Give us sincere and hungry hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, are you going through a dry spell? Are you going through a dry spell? I know that if this message does not apply to you, I know that someday it will. Or I know that one day it would have. Because every Christian knows what it is to go through what we would call a dry spell. I believe I can help you this morning. I want you to follow me. Father, bless the message now to our hearts. May it give us what we need for this week to serve Thee better, to love Thee more, to help others. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever, all of a sudden, realized that the charm is gone? You see others on a mountaintop, and you wish you felt like that, and you remember a day when you did feel like that. You remember the joy that you used to have, and all of a sudden, you realize that you're just going through the motions. You want to feel what you used to feel. You want to feel what others seem to feel. But the reality is, you just seem to be going through the motions. That's not unusual. Happens to all of us. I mean, everybody has these seasons when we feel like we're in a dry spell. Elijah had it in 1 Kings 19:14. Elijah decided that he was the only one left, and there was no other one left at all. And he went through a time of depression, a dry spell. This is the same one who could pray down fire from heaven in the presence of the prophets of Baal, and could even fight them alone and stand by himself. But this great Elijah went through a dry spell. So it's not unique to you, and you're not the only one that's ever done it. We preachers do it. I'm sure Brother Glenn back here, who's been pastoring now for several years, will attest to this. We preachers come to times when we preach on some truth and we wonder why we aren't as happy about it as we were the last time we preached on it. Or it seems like that somehow we're not moved as much as we once were. We have a little dry spell. Moses had it in Numbers chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Moses made such statements as this. He said, Why did you give me these people? Talking to God. He said to God, You lay all their burden on me. He said to God, Did I bring these people into the world? He said to God, You make me babysit with your kids. That's what Moses said. Why? Because Moses was having a time of depression, spiritually. Emotionally, he was going through a dry spell. David did the same thing in Psalm 55 and 6. We read it just a while ago. David said, I wish I had wings so I could fly away from it all. Did you ever wish you could do that? I mean, just leave a note for at work and say, I won't be coming back tomorrow. And put a sign outside the house and say, three kids for sale cheap. And just say, fooey on it all. Well, all of us have it. It's not unique to preachers. It was not unique to Elijah or Moses or David. Jeremiah said one time, and I'm paraphrasing this, he said, I'd like to be able just to get away from it all and get out to an inn, a little hotel, in the country where the artists are setting up their easels and they're painting from the landscape. I'd like to just go to some little hotel and stay there. Jeremiah said that. John Calvin said, the future appalls me. I dare not think of it. Here's a statement made. I'll give you the statement and then tell you who made it. I am sick of this life, if it could be called life. That statement was not made by some wicked atheist or backslider. That statement was made by none other than Martin Luther. I'm sick of this life, if it could be called or can be called life. Now, I'm not talking this morning about the time in your life where you're overtaken by some sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the time when you backslide and get away from God. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the time when you come to church, but it's not as exciting as it used to be. I'm talking about the time you read the Bible, but it's not as exciting as it once was. I'm talking about the time when you pray, but you don't doesn't excite you like it did. It just seems like the yellow flag has been waved, and you're just going around the circle making no progress at all. You're not catching up with anybody. And life is at a standstill, and the truth is you're going through a dry spell. Now, I'm talking to folks this morning right in the middle of that dry spell. You're not as excited as you used to be about the things of God. It may be about the other things in life, your work or your family, your church. It may be that you're going through a spell where things don't excite you like they did, and that you're going through a dry spell. Now, I want to give you five things that will help you. The first thing I want to say is, don't change a thing. Don't change a thing. You're going through that dry spell, don't change a thing. You see, God is testing you to see why you serve Him. God wants to know, is it love that causes you to serve Him, or is it a good feeling that you get from serving Him? God wants to know, do you serve Him because He says to serve Him? Pastor, said one, I don't enjoy the Bible like I used to. I can recall when I used to read the Bible, and my heart would burn as I read the blessed Word of God. But Pastor, something's happened to me. I don't love the Bible like I used to. I used to weep on its pages. I don't do it anymore. Pastor, I wish I could feel like I used to feel when I read the Bible and tingled and wept and rejoiced. But I don't feel that way anymore. Pastor, said another, I don't enjoy my prayer time anymore. I can recall when prayer was an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I can recall when I would stop to realize while I was praying that I was talking to the Creator of the universe. And Pastor, I can recall the joy and the thrill and the excitement I had when I came boldly to the throne of grace to present my petition and find grace to help in time of need. But preacher, I don't feel that way anymore. Something's happened. I want to feel like I used to feel. Something's happened. Pastor, said another, I don't enjoy my Sunday school class anymore. I used to couldn't wait to teach my class. But Pastor, I recall the time when you or someone else asked me to take my class, and I realized that I was a Sunday school teacher. And I walked in that class the first time, excited and thrilled that I was going to teach the eternal Word of God to the eternal souls of those little boys or girls or boys and girls. And what an excitement it was. But preacher, I don't feel that way. It's a drudgery now. I don't enjoy it like I used to. Preacher, I wish I did. What's happened to me? Preacher, I don't enjoy my bus route anymore. I can recall when I used to unload my bus out there in the front. I realized that I was bringing people who could not come and would not have come, and they were coming to hear the message of grace, And preacher, I can recall when somebody off my bus got saved, how thrilling and how exciting it was. Preacher, I wish I could feel that way again. What's wrong with me? Wait a minute. Hold it a minute. Wait a minute. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. We're about to separate the men from the boys. Yeah, we're about to separate the men from the boys. When the day comes, when you don't tingle when you read that book, you don't thrill when you read that book, but you read that book because God tells you to read that book, you're about to become a good Christian then. When the day comes when you don't want to teach that Sunday school class, you don't thrill to teach that Sunday school class, but you keep that class. You don't run to the preacher or write a note to the superintendent and say, I don't enjoy my class anymore. I'm going to resign. You say, I don't enjoy it like I used to. I don't thrill like I used to. But I am going to keep my class. Why? Through thick, thin, high, low, hot, cold. I don't care. I'm a Sunday school teacher till I die. When you do that and transfer your motivation for serving God from a tingle to an obedience, you're about to become a good Christian. Don't change anything. Don't change anything. You keep reading your Bible like you always did, even if you're not excited about it. You're in that dry spell. You keep on praying just like you always prayed. And pray when you always prayed. And pray as much as you always prayed. Don't change a thing. Keep your Sunday school class. Keep your bus route. God is trying to find out if you are for real. Hear what it said? God wants to know if you're for real. Is it love to Him and obedience to Him that causes you to serve Him? Or is it because you're having fun? Now, fun is a byproduct that God sometimes gives, but obedience is the reason and love is the reason we're supposed to serve God. I say again, don't quit a thing. Don't quit a thing. You're in a dry spell. Don't change a thing. Don't stop anything. Don't resign that Sunday school class. Don't miss that. Don't resign that bus route. Don't miss a church service. You don't understand it. I don't understand why people don't go to church when they're sick. But how's I wasn't there Sunday, I was homesick. Well, why couldn't you have been at church sick? I don't understand that. I mean, that's when you need a message the most. That's why you go to the doctor's office when you're sick. And you'll sit there in a smoke-filled doctor's office for 2 hours, reading the magazine, the Saturday Evening Post of 1918. You'll sit there for 2 hours in a smoke-filled doctor's office. Listen, when you need preaching and the most is when you're down. When you're sick, when you're on the bottom. I just didn't come because I just didn't feel up to it. Well, you won't feel. That's the way you get back up to it, is by coming. That's what it's all for. Sure as I say that, we'll have 14 folks come tonight with hepatitis and we'll all catch it. You know what I'm saying. We have students at college. They can go to class on Monday, but they can't go to church on Sunday because they're sick. I'm simply saying that when you're in a dry spell, that's when you need preaching. That's when you need some strength. That's when you need fellowship. So when you get in that dry spell and you're going through that dry spell and in a crowd like this of 40 or 50,000 people, I guess, there are hundreds of people right now in a dry spell and they're always in any given Sunday. There will be. I say it again. God wants to find out whether or not you're for real. Bless God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all these years. I've been preaching when I felt good, when I felt bad, when I was on top, when I was on bottom, when I was in a dry spell or a wet spell. I've always kept on going. Why? That's the way you get out of your dry spell. And I'm not serving God because I'm not in a dry spell. I'm serving God because that book says I'm supposed to serve God. And because I love Him with all of my heart. And I want God to know I'll preach till I die if I never tingle again. Don't change anything. Don't stop anything. You're in a dry spell. Number two, don't make any decisions. While you're in that dry spell, make no decisions. Most of our decisions are made while we're in a dry spell. One of the most important sermons I preached here in recent years, I preached on a Sunday night about 2 or 3 years ago entitled, Don't Make Any Decision When Your Decision Maker Is Broken. If your coffee pot won't work, use somebody else's coffee pot. Don't drink hot water. Don't put your roast in an oven that won't turn on. It'll be raw when you take it out. Borrow somebody else's oven. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, that while you're in this, you know that most of life's decisions are made when our decision makers are not in good shape. Most of the decisions you make in life, the big ones, are when you're blue, or you're sick, or you're angry, or you're bereaved, you make decisions. Don't do that. Don't do it. Don't make decisions. You'll make the wrong decision while you're in a dry spell because your decision maker is broken. Oh, listen to me. I do. There's no way to measure the heartache that's been caused in this world because people get mad and quit. They get hurt and quit. They get upset and change. I wonder how many lives have been destroyed because most of the decisions in life of any magnitude are made when we're mad, we're sad, we're bereaved, we're angry, we're blue, we're melancholy, or we're sick. No, wait till you get back on the top side. Don't make any decisions. You folks right now, and I'm talking to hundreds of you right now, you are going through a dry spell, and you know you are. You don't understand. I could point right now to 50 families in this room now who've gotten down and in that down condition have made a decision to go across the country somewhere and get across the country, and they find the problem was not where they live but who was living there. I could point to 50 families right here, right now in this room who made some decision when you were going through a dry spell. You got 1,000 miles away or 500 miles away or 2,000 miles away and realize you made a mistake. Why? I'll tell you why. Don't make a decision while your decision maker's broken. Don't change a thing. Don't stop a thing. Don't make any decisions. Number 3, don't run to anything new. Don't run to anything new while you're in a dry spell. You cannot live on the new all your life. You will soon run out of the new. I want to thank God for something this morning. I want to thank God the old inspires me more than the new. I want to thank God that what I got I like better than what you got. I want to thank God this morning that I don't have to have something, some little new toy all the time to keep me happy. I want to thank God this morning that what I have is what I want, and what I'm doing is what I want to do. But what you will do before you know it, you'll get in a dry spell. And then you'll go seek some new little trinket. That's why you shouldn't buy a new car while you're in a dry spell. First place, the time you drive it a block, it's used. But I'm saying you shouldn't buy a house while you're in a dry spell. You shouldn't change anything while you're in a dry spell. And especially, you shouldn't go trotting off after something new. Oh, this morning I got a sweet little note, maybe in last night or this morning, sweet little note from a lady. I've tried to help her, one of the finest ladies in this church, but I've tried to help her. She had a little problem, a big problem, and I tried to help her, and I counseled with her and her husband, and I counseled with them, and I counseled with them. And this morning I got a note, and at least I read it this morning, and the note said, praise God, Brother Howes, I just wanted you to know it finally soaked in. I finally found out that you're not happy because of what you get, you're happy because of what you give. She said it finally soaked in, and I'm happy and we're happy because it's finally soaked in. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to get out of your dry spell because you got a new trinket to play with. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. And by the way, there are not enough things in the world for you to keep on having something new every time you get down or blue. I get a little tired of people saying, well, I said, I'm blue today. I think I'll go shopping. Your husband's going to be blue tomorrow. You can, listen, you can't depend on buying something new to get you out of the doldrums. You can't do that. The thing to do is to keep on doing what you've always been doing. In most cases, that's shopping. Oh, I tell you, I just want to come out and say, folks, don't you understand anything about the Bible? Don't you understand anything about the Bible? When you're going through a dry spell, don't change anything. Don't stop anything. Don't make any decisions. And don't run to something new. You can't live that way. You can't. You've got to figure out some way to be happy with what you have. Because you're going to, what's new you'll have after you get it. And then it's just a part of what you all always had. You got to seek something else that's new. Oh, I tell you, I got on a t-shirt. I don't wear undershirts. I don't like that stuff dipping down under my arms. But I wear t-shirts like all men do. And, but I wear same t-shirt all the time. I wash it on Friday and don't wear it for a while. I'm glad you're listening. I hope you can catch the truth as well as you catch the mistakes. But I wear the same t-shirt all the time. I've noticed you do, Stan, also same one all the time. But I wear the same brand. I've got on this morning a pair of socks. I just felt like I ought to wear a pair of socks. I've got one brand of socks. One brand. It's all I ever wear. One brand of socks. That's it. I use one kind of hairspray, just one kind of hairspray. Spray both hairs with it every time. Same thing all the time. Never change. I use same kind of deodorant. Always do. Same kind. You buy another brand, I won't use it. Always do. I could eat the same food every meal the rest of my life. Same food. Never change. I just thank God I haven't got to go, I want something new. Like a little boy or a kid at a toy shop. Most of us are that way. You get the dry spell. Don't run to something new. Now, number four. You get hit a dry spell. Don't change a thing. Don't stop anything. Don't make any decisions. Don't run to something new. Number four. Don't blame anybody for it or anything for it. Don't blame anybody or anything. Well, my wife's fault. It is. Amen, he said. That's an example right there. Got one of the best wives ever lived. He's nothing but a crud. His wife just said amen. But I mean, don't blame anybody. I'd have been okay if you'd have turned the PA on a while ago. That ruined the whole service for me. Not me. I just listened to what Brother Wober's solo went on. I kept hearing somebody hum in the background a little bit. But it's not anybody's fault because you're in a dry spell. God plans those dry spells. He wants to find out if you mean Him. He wants to find out if you love Him. He wants to find out if you serve Him because He says to serve Him. That's what He wants to find out. So don't blame anybody or anything. Number five, forget it and try to help others find it. Oh, one of the cutest little stories I've ever heard in my life. Dr. John Rice. Dr. Rice was a little boy. He had a Sunday school teacher. He used to tell the story. Said she it was a lady. And said she had a little mustache. You've seen these ladies have little mustaches. And she had a little mustache. And he said that she prayed for Dr. Rice to get saved. But Dr. Rice was 9 years old. And Dr. Rice told his daddy, Dr. Rice's dad was one of these old kind of little strong will fellows. He told Dr. Rice he couldn't get saved till I think he was 10. He said, "You can't get saved till you're 10. So this lady was praying for Dr. Rice to get saved. And Dr. Rice said, "I can't get saved till I'm 10. Sunday school teacher said, "Why?" He said, "Because my daddy said so. Can't get saved till I'm 10. Dr. Rice said he wanted people to get saved so bad. He went to one of his friends who was already 10 and said, "Won't you get saved, man?" And he said, "Are you saved?" He said, "No, I'm not old enough, but you're old enough." And he won that 10-year-old boy to Jesus. He couldn't get saved because he wasn't old enough. But after I said, one half the school to Jesus for you, so he'd go to people old enough to get saved who were 10 or over and win them all to Christ. And one day it dawned on him. He trusted Christ himself in spite of the fact that his daddy said you can't get saved if you're 10. That's the way life is, folks. I mean, if you don't feel it, help somebody else to feel it. And one of these days you'll feel it. I mean, if you are in a dry spell, forget it. Forget it. God didn't come to say, he didn't say, "I want you to serve me so you'll tingle." Keep on doing what you've been doing. Keep on teaching that class. Keep on working that bus route. He says, "No fun anymore." Do it whether it's fun or not. I don't do, a lot of stuff I don't do, it's fun. I didn't get up this morning and go to the bathtub and say, "Glory to God." Get a diving board and put it on the bathtub and dive in. I want to take a bath. I don't like to bathe. You can't do anything else while you bathe but bathe. But I bathe. Why? Because I tangle. Nowadays, take a bath, you got to have one of these whirlpools. Something to... The whole generation's wacky except me. Everybody's crazy. I mean, brother, I just thank God for the bathtub. I don't have to have the water. I don't have to have that. Somebody, you say, "Brother, do you ever get in these dry spells?" Sure. Sure I do. What do? Keep on going. I got in one of these little dry spells for about a month, about a couple of years ago. I got thinking. Well, I'll tell you when it was. I was getting close to 60. I hate a fella as a preacher that preached before me in Washington, D.C. area Tuesday morning. I hate him with a passion. He got up and he said, "Folks, let's get burdened about these dear people in these rest homes in their 60s and above and about to go out into eternity." Boy, you think I didn't ream him out when I got up to preach after a while? The guy was about 40 years old, you know, and he's these dear old saints about to cross the Jordan and go out into eternity 60 and over. Well, I went and come to think of it, I've had a dry spell this week because of that statement. But right before I turned 60, I went through a little dry spell. I mean it. Now, didn't last for long, 10 years or so, and it's over just like that. But I went through one. You know why? What it was? I felt like somebody younger could do a better job in this church. I did. I got to thinking. Maybe some fellow in his 30s could come here. Maybe he could appeal to the young folks better than I do. And maybe he could appeal to the college folks better than I. And maybe the church would have better had some young man. One day, I got out in the woods and I said, "This is silly. This is silly." So I just decided that I was going to out-young them. You won't find a preacher in his 30s that'll preach with any more vigor than I do. No. You won't find a preacher in his 30s that'll enjoy preaching any more than I do. So I just decided to get back to my 30s. What am I saying? I don't know, but it's a good illustration. Tell you what I'm saying. I'm saying that it is as normal. You know what I'm talking about. In your relationships of life, you go through times when you still love somebody, but you don't sit and look at the moon with them. When you first moved here, I looked at the moon every night. I went out and looked at it. And it was the same place every night. And for months, I'd look at that moon. It was full every night. And, you know, I'd enjoyed that moon for months till I found out it was a round window in the house across the street. Bless God, I can have more fun looking at windows than you can looking at the moon. I I'd sing, shine on, harvest moon, up in the sky. But, I mean, the honest, simple truth is, we've got to tingle. We've got to, no, everybody goes through times of depression. We all go through times when we hit a dry spell. Here's the sad thing. While we're in a dry spell, we'll do foolish things or start foolish things or quit things foolishly that we'll wish when we get back in over the dry spell we hadn't have done. When you hit a dry spell, keep on praying. Keep on reading the Bible. Keep on soul winning. Keep on teaching a Sunday school class. Keep on your bus route. Keep on doing your job. Why? Because He says do it. Why? Because I love Him. That's why. And one day, bless God, the dry spell will be over. And you'll be glad you stuck with everything. Didn't quit anything, didn't seek anything new, didn't have to have a new toy. You just kept on doing what you're supposed to do in the dry spell. Take my advice this morning. You'll be glad if you do what I said. You'll be glad. Just as normal for any area of our life, get a dry spell. I got my schedule all crossed up for a few weeks. As you know, I go out on Mondays and Tuesdays. Don't like to go out on Thursdays and Fridays. But made some mistakes and gave some dates, one day to two people. I don't know what I did. Ms. McKinney's the one that did it, and I don't know what it was. But it got all mixed up, and I gave the same date to two different preachers. And because of it, I had to turn around and give some preachers a Thursday and Friday. I don't like that. And because of that, I got sort of out of sync a little bit. But what do you do, Brother Hiles? Just keep on doing it. Don't change anything. Just, well, the house... You get a little. Don't you ever get tired of traveling sometimes? If I do, I don't change it. Do you ever get tired of preaching? If I do, I don't change it. I'm not preaching. Because some of you preachers, you want to be preachers because it looks fun. You'd like to blow your stack three times a week. No, you don't preach because it's fun. You preach because God tells you to preach. You just keep on doing what He says. Bless God if I hit a dry spell. And if I stay in that dry spell until I die, I want God to give me enough common sense not to quit, not to change, not to run off looking for something new, not to make any decision. Just keep on doing it. I've told this half dozen times here. I love it. I'll close with it. When I was in the Army in infantry, basic training in Fort Hood, Texas, we had a guy in our outfit that hated the Army, hated everything about the Army. His name was Hiles. Then we had another guy in our outfit that hated everything about the Army more than Hiles did, if that's possible. This guy, well, the difference in Hiles and this guy, Hiles didn't say it. He just thought it. This guy, he'd tell the sergeant, the captain, anybody off. You fellows who've been in the service, not the Navy, the Armed Forces. You fellows who've been in the Armed Forces, in the Army, you know there are some general orders. They call the general orders. One of those general orders says to continue at the last command until you hear from headquarters. Well, one day we were out doing close order drill. That, you know, up, hoop, reap, four, column right, march, left, march, and so forth. And close order drill. This sergeant said, forward, march, up, reap, four, up, hoop, reap, four, count, cadence, count. And we were marching. The jeep rolled up with the captain in it. The captain called the sergeant. The sergeant went over to talk to the captain and forgot us. We were marching. Well, we got to the end of the field where the fence was, and all of us stopped but this one fella. He said to me, he said, Jack, I'm sorry, he said, preacher, Dr. Hiles, he said, Jack, I'm going to obey that general order. I said, which one? He said, continue at the last order. to the Yerba headquarters. He climbed a fence. He kept on going. He went to town. He didn't come back. He was AWOL for several days. They took that fellow and court-martialed him. And do you know he won his case? Because he was continuing at the last order until he heard from headquarters. There's a way out, fellas. Now, folks, that's the way you do it. You keep on marching. The orders have been given. You don't keep on obeying the orders till you quit your tingling. You don't keep on obeying the orders until it's not fun anymore. You keep on obeying the orders. And that's the way. One day God looked down, God will say, well, I trust him now. I lifted the joy for a while, lifted the tingle for a while, lifted the thrill for a while. But he kept on doing what I told him to do. God turns around and says to an angel, go down and stir up his tingler a bit. Get him excited again. Make it a thrill again. Help him enjoy it again. That's the Christian life. All of us have times of dry spells. But thank God it doesn't throw all of us. Just some of us. But it need not throw any of us. Father, bless the simple truth and yet profound truth that's gone across this pulpit today. I pray for those hundreds of people this morning in this room going through the